Let's go. It's Rodeo Rock Radio time. Thank you so much for joining us. Today's date, February 19th, 2022. There's a lot going on in the world. It's a crazy world. We're living it. We're loving it. February 19th, 2022. So much appreciate the listeners and you guys. It's, you know, we work hard to build an audience. We work hard to put these things together. And it's episodes like today when it's important to have that, because we need support. We need to know that there's people listening when we have big things like this. We'll get in more into that. Our guest today, Mr. Trent Luce. If you don't know Trent, you need to know him, especially if you're involved in anything agricultural or if you like to eat good healthy foods. Trent is one of the biggest voices, one of the biggest advocates for agriculture in general, for freedoms, for property rights. You know, he specializes in animal agriculture, livestock agriculture, but a huge advocate for so many things. He's just to kind of a little bit of rundown on Trent. He has numerous radio programs. Rural Route Radio is one. Loose Tales. He's on programs all the time. He's a guest host. He's a guest on numerous programs. Just a big voice. He's got a TV show called Trent on the Loose, I believe. He does Across the Pond with Trent. He talks to a gentleman in Britain about things going on overseas. He's just got his finger on the pulse of everything agricultural and in the world, for that matter. It's going to be great to have him on today. I can't wait to get him on the phone. We're going to get, you know, there's so many things to talk about with a guy like Mr. Luce, but I need advice from him today, and I'll tell you why here in a second. So, quick rundown on what's going on in our world today that we're kind of concerned with. On the East Coast, we have a New York Times YouTube video that was put out by the New York Times, which reaches, I don't know how many millions of people, just in New York City, much less their outside listeners, huge audience. The title of this video, it's a educational piece, is called, and it's very well done. Check it out on YouTube. It's professionally done. There's a lot went into this. A lot of thought, a lot of money, a lot of support. It's scary. Not as scary as the title, and not as scary as the content. The title is Meet the People Killing Our Planet. And the scary part about that is we're the people that they are alleging is killing the planet. And also, we are the people that are feeding those people that are accusing us and literally trying to shut down the agricultural process, livestock agriculture in particular. And I think they just don't understand where their food comes from. So that's one thing that's going on the East Coast. More directly concerned today, all the way on the West Coast, just to bring this into perspective, the West Coast, in Los Angeles, there's lots going on, obviously, in the West Coast. California is almost as ground central as East Coast, New York City area. But directly, this week, we are concerned with a Los Angeles City Commission has an ordinance that's about to pass, or maybe has passed, I don't even know. But it's basically directly banning all rodeo, anything involved with rodeo. There's language in there that could ban petting zoos. It's a very, very direct, radical extremist animal rights type situation. And we are going there. The PBR, the Professional Bull Riders, Mr. Sean Gleason, is part of an organization called the Western Sports Industry Coalition, and they are getting extremely organized to take a stand against these types of things. And basically, so the PBR event, the bull riding event, is scheduled for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2022. And we're going to be there. We're going there. And I'm not going to say it's a counter-protest. I think it's a demonstration. We're basically going to be there. They have Dave Duquette with Western Justice, who is kind of the parent organization of the Western Sports Industry Coalition. They have been organizing, somewhat like these truckers are doing in Canada that are making a difference and getting their voice heard. Mr. Duquette has been organizing, and he's been spending a lot of time at capitals, state capitals, the capital in D.C., just watching all these, typically what is sneaky, small legislation. This is a blatant full-on bill to ban things. It's a next step for the radical extreme left, you know, animal opposition groups. So we got we're kind of taking the fight to them. And on Tuesday at this event, I'm going to say it's a demonstration. They got 2,000 charros, I think, scheduled to be there. I'm not really familiar exactly what's all going on. I know I got a plane 5 a.m. leaving North Dakota. It's going to be 16 below zero. I'm not excited about it. I do not like L.A. to begin with. I do not like big cities. But it's time. You know, we've been talking about this for a lot of years. We've been talking is the thing. And finally, we have some people taking the initiative, getting organized, and it's time to put up some opposition to these groups, to the government, you know, having success at taking away our way of life, taking away history, taking away livestock production, agriculture, potentially putting the world in danger of going hungry, possibly. You know, that's maybe a little bit extreme, but it's not all the realm of possibility. So you know, that's where we're at. So, and when we get Trent on the phone, I want his advice how to handle this. He knows these people. He knows this stuff. It's a major part of his life. So we're going to get a lot of good input from him. But that's the gravity of the situation. You have the East Coast and the West Coast, and people say, well, it's New York, it's LA, it's no big thing. What does it matter if you can't rodeo in LA? Well, it matters because what happens there could eventually come here, or it just spreads. You know, if they're successful on one level, you know, they want that to be in Midwestern America. They want Texas to not have rodeos also. You know, next thing you know, they're coming. So it's time we stand up, take the fight to them, put up some opposition peacefully, hopefully, and logically, rationally, and just kind of be there. I don't know what's going to happen, but we need support. We need advice, and we need you to tune in. The Western Justice Organization, like I said, is who's organizing this, and that's where you can go to support. They need your monetary support. They need your signatures on these petitions against these radical legislative processes. They just need you to be involved. I know you don't want this to happen. I know you are shaking your head like this can't happen, but it's happening, and we need you to get involved. Everybody needs to get her done. So, that being said, I'm excited to get Trent on the phone. We're going to give thanks to some sponsors, and I think today our main sponsor is going to be Western Justice and the Western Sports Industry Coalition. Check them out, Western Justice, on the internet, Facebook. You can donate, you can contribute, you can put your support there. It's going to be good. Coming up shortly, Mr. Trent Luce. In the meantime, while I'm getting him hooked up, check out this song from my band Breaking Eight. It's called Western Justice. We'll be right back.
The simple life is simply gone. Folks these days don't know right from wrong. You do you.
Trent Luce joins me finally on the radio. It is an honor. Thanks so much, Trent, for joining us in your busy schedule. How are you, and what are you up to today?
Well, thanks for the opportunity. Sorry this took so long. I need to be a little more diligent in following through, Benny, but I am driving to Missouri today. Ooh. We weaned a few sows before I left home, and I've got a I-35 cattlemen's meeting tonight in Cameron, Missouri. So I am off to try to rally the troops to stand up and explain the importance of the cow and the consumption of beef to the world.
You do so much. I don't see how you keep it all straight. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I want to talk more about that later. Also, number one, you know, I explained in our intro of the program today, I explained all the stuff you got going on, all your programs, so much going on, and really want to get some advice from Mr. Luce today. As I explained before, I'm off to Los Angeles on Tuesday to join Dave Duquette, the Western Sports Industry Coalition, in what I'm calling maybe a demonstration. I don't even know for sure what it is. I guess first question for you is, are you familiar? How familiar are you with what's going on in Los Angeles right now?
No, I don't. Well, I know a couple things going on in Los Angeles, and they're trying to ban the ponies from kid rides, but I don't know specifically the event you're going to.
Okay, it's LA City and County they're about to, or maybe have passed an ordinance, pretty much very explicitly banning rodeo, pony rides, any of that stuff. And right. Dave Duquette has organized a really big kind of pushback at the PBR event on Tuesday. So it's very similar.
Excellent.
what I think is what the truckers are doing. It's you know, we're finally getting some organization and getting groups together to put up a fight or demonstrate, I don't know, just some opposition to it. I don't even know what's going to happen. And that's one of the viewpoints I'd like to get from you being involved. I know I watched your TV program yesterday. You had a trucker that's part of that deal on. And, you know, some advice, how you think we should go about this, and, you know, these people don't want to listen to reason or have a rational conversation. So what do we do now? What do you got?
First thing you do is you maintain composure. So I have been in many of these situations for the past 22 years, and the one that's probably most similar to what you're doing, getting into next week, is that I was involved in San Francisco at the Cow Palace, which one of the great rodeos that ever existed in the United States.
You bet.
Took place in the Cow Palace just south of San Francisco. And Seth Dalton was the general manager at the time. And that was about 2006. He called me and he said, "Trent, it's time we put the cow back into the Cow Palace." And so I said, "Well, whatever I can do to help, I'll be there." And so I went out and spent time with Seth, and ahead of the rodeo itself. And then when the rodeo actually happened, it was very educational for me, because California is just a tick ahead of us in all of these endeavors. And sure enough, about the time the rodeo kicked off, there I was sitting in the office, and word came that there was protesters at the front gate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stock contractors and everybody kind of scuffed their boots and said a word or two that we probably shouldn't share, Benny, that you know exactly where we're at.
Yeah.
And went off, you know, and just ignored him. Well, I grabbed my camera and my recorder, and I went out. I went out there, and I wanted to confront them without being confrontational. And I think that's the most important part. And I actually recorded this gentleman saying some things that were completely erroneous and made him look like a fool.
Sure.
But the most important part of what you're doing is that for a long time, we've scuffed the dirt and just complained about them without looking them in the eye. And you are not. There is nothing you are going to say to these individuals that are standing up to protesting kids riding ponies that's going to change their mind.
Right.
But what you do need to do is to make sure that the people that are still critical thinkers, that are still logical, at least get to hear the rationale behind why those pony rides are vitally important and why rodeo is important as we continue to go forward. We've not been present often enough, and the fact that you're going to take the initiative and be present is huge. But I repeat, the first thing that I said, which is the most important thing, maintain composure, because you will hear things that are so egregious, your neck will turn red and you'll be ready to just, but you wait, you're strategic, you're a good listener, and then you plant little seeds of information. And at the end of the day, what you do better than anything is that you will learn the thought processes behind getting those individuals to that spot. And so the most important thing is to learn how they've got there so incorrectly with incorrect information, and then use that to educate others to make sure they're not wrongly influenced as those individuals are.
Great advice. Great advice. So what year was this when you were at the Cow Palace?
I'd have to look to make sure, but I think it was 2006.
Are you aware of the status of the San Francisco Cow Palace Rodeo today?
I am not.
It is non-existent.
I knew that when Seth left as a general manager, it was spiraling downhill, and they did not have a champion, because that's what Seth Dalton was a champion for the Cow Palace for that particular rodeo event. And it was fantastic.
Great rodeo.
Yep. We went to the Chamber of Commerce in San Francisco, Ben, and we had buy-in from the communities, and we just were very proactive. But if you don't have a champion for these causes, they will steal them from there.
Well,
and that's the bottom line.
You said it. What I've been thinking is you went out there, but everybody else just scoffed at it and said, ah, it's no big deal. It won't affect us. They can't shut us down. Well, California has shut down over half of their 80 pro rodeos or so that they had 15, 20 years ago. There's less than half of those active today, San Francisco being one of those. And this is a prime example. When you don't get together, when you don't rationally and, you know, nicely do something about it, next thing you know, it's gone. Next thing you know, it's at our back door in Nebraska or in South Dakota, you know. So, and that's what we're doing here is standing up, like you said. So just being present and having an appearance, I think, could help, like you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes all the difference in the world. And I also want to point out for our listeners who maybe they hear the word California and they think, oh, my goodness, well, California, a bunch of whack jobs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is partially true. The other part of that story is that I have met as many authentic, ranchy men and women in California as I have in any state in this country. And one of the legendary rodeo contractors and a guy who knows how to put on a rodeo better than anybody in the nation, Cotton Rosser.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Has been a part of putting on rodeos for, I think, since Jesus walked the planet.
Flying U Rodeo.
And I mean, there are people in California that think exactly like you and I do. And really what they need is they need somebody outside of their circle to come in, lend some support, give them the confidence that they're doing the right thing because they've constantly been under attack.
Yeah, and that's what Dave Duquette with Western Justice is doing. He's funded. We're supporting him. He's at the legislative meetings. He's at the capitals. He's keeping an eye on these things that has typically been small little legislative acts, but this one in L.A. is a blatant, outright. They're not even hiding it. They're proud of it. So we need guys like that. We need guys like you. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time and spreading the word. And I think I feel like finally what we've been listening to Trent Luce say and what we've been kind of talking about and scoffing about that we know what's going on. Now it's time to take the fight to him and stand up and get organized and be there. And that being said, the truckers are kind of doing exactly that up there. What are you seeing that we can take from that? Or what are they doing that's being effective? Or what are they doing that's not effective?
The Canadian truckers did something that I've never been able to pull off, and I take my hat off to them. And today I'm getting notes about every 5 minutes on what is happening. I don't know, Benny, if you saw the video yesterday. They rode a group of horses, which looked like at least half crosses through a crowd, and I've just got a note that the lady they trampled died this morning.
The authorities did this?
Yes, the police.
Oh, wow.
And what has happened there is that Trudeau is a complete tyrant. He is right now using, which they don't believe that they're even Ottawa police. They believe they brought these individuals in from somewhere else. There's a thought, it's not proven, but a thought that they're UN security goons. That's where we're at this very moment that you and I are talking. It's a very fluid situation. Yesterday was intense. They arrested a plethora of people. I don't even know if it's in the hundreds or where it's at, but what they're trying to do right now is just instill fear in the Canadian citizen. And the reason they're doing that is because the Canadian truckers made something happen that you need to keep in mind when you go to LA and that we all need to keep in mind. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but Dave Duquette and I went together to Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. And we were there for 2 nights, and we were part of that same endeavor, which really mimics what's happening in Canada. And ultimately, LaVoy Finicum lost his life as a result of standing up for freedom.
Yeah.
For the third time, I'm going to get to my point on why the Canadian truckers have been successful. At no time have I ever seen when a stand like Malheur or any other example that I've been a part of, which I've been a part of three of these national endeavors, did the people that were not involved show up in droves and say, thank you for doing this. We want to stand with you. And the Canadian Truckers, not only in Ottawa, just so everybody knows that I can share videos with anybody, because I have people now all across Canada sending me notes, having it for 3 weeks. I interviewed Lloyd Brubacher the very first day of arrival in Ottawa. And so I've been on top of this. I'm bringing information to people as close to the ground as I can get and not being in Canada. But Benny, they have millions. They have millions of Canadians who have shown up and said, we stand with you and we want to be a part of this. We have never accomplished that at any other point in time. There will be people that support your endeavors. They'll send you money. They'll do whatever. And they'll say, keep going. They'll be your cheerleader from afar. That's not going to work. And the way that they're going to take down Trudeau is that he is going to continue to commit crimes in the masses, which is ultimately what's going to make the difference. And so what the Canadian Truckers have been able to accomplish is generate a pride. Every single day I've had 20 people send me a note. I feel proud to be Canadian again. I haven't had that for years.
That is awesome.
That's the difference.
So how do we mimic that? I mean, everybody in rodeo, in livestock agriculture, I mean, horse industry, horse owners, we're all super proud of what we do, and, you know, almost every single one of us is really great stewards of our animals and land. Obviously, there's always the small percentage of abusers, just like humans. I mean, these people protesting animal abuse, do they not realize there's a greater percentage of people that are child abusers or spousal abusers? Where's your protest for that? I don't know. But we're doing a great job.
No, they don't. And Benny, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to use a North Dakota example, mm-hmm. because North Dakota is as great a state as there is in this nation. And yet I was at the state capitol testifying against a bill which ultimately passed the North Dakota legislature, which gave a tougher penalty for an animal abuser than it did a child abuser.
Yeah.
How do we get to this point in time in our thought process that we're trying to protect animals when we don't even understand what an animal needs protecting from?
Right, right. They see emotional images on TV or something. I don't understand it. Yeah.
Well, there's too much money involved. And so there's no money to help save kids. But there is big money to help save the horse,
yeah.
or the dog, or whatever the case may be. And you can say, oh, Trent, there are organizations working every day to help save kids. There are. There mm-hmm. are people tirelessly trying to do that. But I see people every day give more money to an animal rights organization trying to save a horse from a rodeo than I do the kid who was sex trafficking during the Super Bowl.
It's sickening.
Which is the largest sex and child trafficking event of the year, and people just buy their chicken wings and enjoy it. I don't understand.
Yep.
If you're going to continue to be complacent, you're part of the problem.
The reservations, the abuse that goes on there that people turn the other cheek on but gladly will show up to an animal rights protest just blows my mind. But these are the same people that are responsible that just released a video, the New York Times video. I don't know if you saw that. That video is entitled Meet the People Killing Our Planet. You and I and our people being the people that they're saying is killing the planet. And
I did see that.
I mean, that's the same people. And these people are also the people that we're feeding. I don't know if they don't understand that part of the deal. So we got the East Coast trying to shut us down because we're killing the planet. We got the West Coast thinking that they're saving the world to free the animals or something. And now this is coming. You know, we're basically surrounded by this, and I promise you, this will reach us if we don't band together like these truckers and get this done. And you got so much good insight there. So, what's our next step? Because the truckers, when they get this mandate taken out or whatever, they have won. It's kind of a World War II situation. I feel like we're almost in a Vietnam situation where it's going to keep going for a while. So what can we do to keep together and keep the fight going?
Well, see, here's the thing. They continue to create division. And there are people listening to us that love rodeo. There are people that never been to a rodeo, don't care about a rodeo. And you have to understand that I'll try to explain it in another way, because when Mayor Bill de Blasio was elected to be mayor of Manhattan, New York, and his first priority. He stated January 1, 2015, my number one priority as mayor is to end the horse and carriage sector.
Really?
Okay, I can live without the horse and carriage sector in New York City. It's not going to impact me on a daily basis in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I did? I contacted people in the horse and carriage business in New York City. I went out there and I worked with 300 horse and carriage drivers in New York City. And to this day, people are still coming to New York City Central Park, and they can get in a carriage and ride a horse and carriage because the individuals come from every walk of life, banded together and said, you know, this may not affect me directly, but if we ban horse and carriages in New York City, well, you said it earlier. You said it very well earlier. What's to keep that from coming to the Great Plains of America? Nothing. And so the answer continues to come back to engaging the people who think they don't have a dog in the fight. And I use that pun intended. Because anytime somebody in some part of the United States, or I'll include Canada, eliminates your property rights, is somehow telling you what you can or cannot do with your property and horses and dogs. And these are animals, our property, and we have the ability to handle our property as we see fit. And when somebody's banning that in New York City or in Los Angeles, it is going to affect you. So the answer, how do we get more people engaged in the battle? That's what we have to figure out.
And yeah, Trent, I just had kind of an epiphany here that in this, hopefully you feel good about this. But we're basically now getting a bunch of people and a bunch of money and a bunch of organizations involved in doing what you've been saying we need to do for how many years? You've been on the radio for years preaching that, hey, this is the issues. And now as I'm doing this interview with you, I'm almost starstruck right now because you've been saying this forever. And here we are. Am I right about that?
No, I've only been saying it for 22 years.
Okay, only 22 years. Not quite forever, but
right.
Pretty darn close.
That's not, that'd be like a conservation easement for perpetuity. No, I've only been doing it for 22 years.
That's a long time. I guess the saying is better late than never, and maybe maybe now the timing is right. And I know the great Ben Franklin said, justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are, and I feel like that's kind of coming around. And now we just need to hold it together. And, you know, you've always said, too, the problem in our industry is everybody's too busy working. We don't have time to be out there telling our story and protesting against protesters or whatever needs to be done. So we got to figure it out, I guess.
Well, you have another factor that I have written about and have not spent enough time really focusing on so that people come to grasp with it. But the Western culture is being stolen by the Chinese as we speak.
Oh, boy.
And it's Teton Ridge, which is backed by the Chinese money, particularly Dakin Wang, who owns 80% of all AMC theaters. And that whole Yellowstone concept with the prequel 1883, I can trace every bit of that back to how China is trying to come in and use the Western culture and steal it away from us. Right now, if you're in Vegas, you know exactly what kind of a presence Teton Ridge had. They are evil, and they are working to crush what it is that you and I care about and really is the culture, a backbone of the United States of America. And I know that we're making a difference, Benny, because all of these attacks, you mentioned that video from New York, That's surfacing at this moment because the science behind the importance of animal ownership and the consumption of milk, meat, and eggs is about to break through, and people are going to understand that in a way they never have before. So they are demonizing the importance of milk, meat, and eggs. They're demonizing the ownership of an animal. At the most critical time of this nation and rebuilding, because right now we think we're divided. Well, we're not divided compared to what the division that occurred in 1862 when we're in the middle, it started
War.
In 1860, of a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you can't tell me that our division is parallel to that.
Right.
But who saved the day in the division of the Civil War? The entire image of the cowboy, the American cowboy, was created from 1865, post-Civil War, through 1882, when we trailed 6 million head of cattle from Texas to Abilene, Kansas, put them on a rail car, and get them ultimately into Chicago, where they now have established refrigerated meat cars. And they can get that meat, by the way, Marquis D'Amore from Medora was the first person to talk about doing that, but they got rid of him too. And then the powers that be from Chicago took his idea. But it was the cowboy that reunited America, because the southeastern part of the United States had their resources decimated. And so I think the reason that they want to steal the cowboy culture is because they know that the cowboy has the intestinal fortitude to do the right thing no matter what the cost. And so they've got to come in and weaken that.
Interesting. I was gonna ask you about that. I wanted that insight from you, because I've been hearing you say that. And that makes a little bit of sense to me. Now, this Teton Ridge and Thomas Tull, he's bought the American Rodeo. He's offered to buy RFD TV and the Cowboy Channel. 4AJ Smith, who's Lloyd from Yellowstone, I was hanging with him last weekend at a fundraiser. He'll be in LA with us on Tuesday. He's a huge voice for what we're doing right now. You know, he's really
promoting. He did a fantastic job with his 3-minute video this past weekend and explaining why he would not be at the SAG Awards, and he was just fantastic.
So that's one.
But here's the thing, Benny. I 4A Smith, a great, authentic cowboy.
Yeah.
You think he is taking the time to really study where the money comes from and what the plan is?
Probably
not. Look at what Thomas Tull has done in Montana. He donated $1 million personally to Yellowstone Forever, Yellowstone Forever, which is a nonprofit group that wants to expand Yellowstone National Park. At the same time, when we have East Coast money that we can't really determine where it's coming from, creating the APR in the northeastern part and the north central part of Montana, and they're talking about taking these two land masses and merging them together and getting rid of the white settlers that made it all happen. Hmm. We can trace every bit of that money back to the same equity funds in New York, which are working at removing. It's really nothing new. It's what we called the Buffalo Commons in 1988, and everybody laughed at Frank and Deb Popper from Rutgers, who put together this proposal that said we need to eliminate mankind from the Great Plains and just let the buffalo come back. Well, now we have real money that's quietly behind the scenes trying to make that happen. I happen to be involved, and in fact, Dave and I were together with Forest Films. And I saw, because of our involvement there and in putting some movies together, I got to know quite a few people in Hollywood that when they started making Yellowstone, I was in Hollywood making our movie, which ultimately was about the sheriff of Stark County and what happened to Gary Dossinger in Stark County with his horses, which is a prime example of what you and I have been talking about the entire time.
Yeah.
But we won't diverge into that at this moment. What I want to share is people who had been in Hollywood for a long time, They told me, they said, Trent, you know, everybody in Hollywood, the establishment now I'm talking about, they're laughing at Costner because he's trying to relive his
Dances with Wolves
and his cowboy image through this Yellowstone thing, and it's just a joke.
It's not a joke because there's millions of people latching on to the cowboy culture and kind of wanting to know more about it. Now we just need to make sure
that's what's happening today.
Yeah,
that's what's happening today.
Okay,
but when they were talking about doing Yellowstone, the Hollywood establishment was laughing at them.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay, and they said this is not going to work, and they piled a ton of money in this project, and all of a sudden, in the last 3 years, something changed. After the planning of Yellowstone until now, they do the prequel, and you saw every big name person that's ever been in a Western who's a part of this. What changed? Now Hollywood, the establishment, is completely endorsing, and you can watch social media. They've got Yellowstone trending all the time.
Hmm.
I'll tell you what changed. Instead of laughing, they've recognized they could transition and use this China money, get everybody all wound up, and then kill the culture of the Western cowboy.
That's their end game, you think, is to kill the culture?
Absolutely believe it 100%.
They're, you know, Thomas is, he's in essence right now, he's pouring millions of dollars into supporting and promoting the sport of rodeo in the Western culture. As it looks like from an outside perspective, when I see it, I see him building and supporting it, you know.
He's what's he doing? He's creating a dependence upon him. He now owns the Barrel Racing magazine. Control. He owns that futurity, that quarter horse futurity that they, what's that called? I can't think of the name of it at this exact moment. Taylor Sheridan's involved with that. Was started as Taylor Sheridan's project, and then yeah. Thomas Tull came into it with money. I've got people who've been on the inside of this project for a long time who are now coming to me and giving me information about the real agenda there. Thomas Tull is creating a dependence upon his dollar. And when nobody, I mean, look at what he's done in every single aspect of the equine world.
Mm-hmm.
And buying ranches. He's buying ranches in Montana. I've got realtors in Montana telling me I'm a little worried about what's going on here. Wow. The guy is creating a monster that he will control and be able to kill when he wants to. And we are compliant and running to him fast because why? I want to get some of his money.
That's big stuff. We're going to have to keep an eye on that. And Patrick Gotch, the owner of RFD TV and the Cowboy Channel, who, you know, Patrick's a little eccentric himself, but he's built this beautiful, wonderful outlet for our programming and stories for rural America. And he told Thomas Tull, nope, I won't sell to you. So maybe we need to support Patrick a little bit more and give him a little more credit than we've been giving him. I think
it's just time that we pay attention to what's really going on with Thomas Tull. Thomas Tull does not care about the Western culture. He's trying to control it so he can kill it.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that.
I stand by that.
People watch the Cowboy Channel and RFD TV, and stay tuned to that. And where's your television program on? Beck, I know, and
it's on Beck and every social media outlet. You can go just do a search for Trent on the Loose, and you can find that pretty easy.
Yeah, and I plugged all your, in the intro, I plugged all your stuff, but it's nice to get some more plugs there. I want people to be able to find Trent Loose because he gives all the information and lots of good stuff. We were on the kind of segued into the 30 by 30 real quick. I'd like to talk a little bit more about the 30 by 30 land grab that you've been so heavily promoting and trying to get the word out. What's the status on that, and maybe a quick little rundown on it too?
Well, for those that don't know, 30 by 30 is a provision within the executive order signed by Biden on January the 27th, 2021. The number is 14008. I strongly encourage people to look it up and read the entire 57-page executive order. And basically, that executive order wants to do two things: eliminate fossil fuel, petroleum fuel for the nation and the world. And the 30 by 30 provision is on the surface that 30% of the U.S. land and water by 2030 would be in conservation easements in the name of climate change mitigation. Now, when you do the math and you learn that the United States and states governments combined already own 33% of the United States land mass, why are they issuing an executive order when they already own 33% of the U.S.? Why are they talking about wanting to control another 30% of the U.S.?
Because they want it all.
In addition to that, you've got 12% of the U.S. landmass that's currently in a conservation easement. So if you do the cowboy arithmetic and all of that, Benny, you're at 75% of the United States landmass that would be part of government control. Mm-hmm. It really comes back to this. This is no different than what we've been talking about since we started. It's about control of the resources. And the United States of America has become the premier resource provider, resources being converting those, the air, the water, the land, into the essentials of life, food, fiber, pharmaceuticals, and fuel in a greater fashion than any other nation in the world. And what we have happening is somebody is trying to cripple that food production, because domestic food production is a means of national security. And if you continually demonize animals, you're talking about controlling the land that the animal runs on. Just for an example, 74% of the world's land mass is not suitable to grow anything that people can eat, but yet a ruminant animal, a cow with four chambers to a stomach, can eat that cellulose material and then converts it into the most nutrient-dense food substance on the planet. Every single day, this in the past 30 days, including today, you talked about the negative New York Times video. They have another negative story today about milk. They have a negative story about every single day about the consumption of milk, meat, and eggs. Mm-hmm. And all of that comes back to, we want to control the land so that people cannot maintain their independence. And animals are the key part of that entire process. I have a friend in Kansas who called me last week. He said, Trent, I just lost a pasture. And I lost this pasture because my neighbor got called and contacted by the Department of Agriculture in the state of Kansas. And they offered him $20 an acre to lease his grass to let it set idle. And so my buddy called his Department of Ag and he said, where are you getting the funding and what program allows you to do this? And they told him straight up, it's through the USDA COVID stimulus money.
Wow.
So tell me how it is. And this is happening in Montana. What's happening in North Dakota? I've been getting calls all this week, is that guys who have land already signed up in CRP, Conservation Reserve Program, they may be halfway through their contract and the FSA office is contacting them, trying to aggressively get them to renew their contract for another 10 years before the current contract is even up, and offering them more money. And I had one person call me and say, yes, they did that to me. And they told me I couldn't read the fine print in the contract until I signed it. Well, who's going to sign a contract if you can't read what it means to be a part of the contract? And Benny, here's the thing. All of what I just talked about is on the outside of what they consider to be 30 by 30.
Oh, wow.
Because they think they've already got control of that.
Huh. And one thing that makes me mad is they never talk about stimulating plant growth and grazing management, carbon sequestration, all that stuff. And that's on purpose. And that's a whole nother education on my part. I want to back up a second there on these things. My historical knowledge of CRP and, like, well, Teddy Roosevelt started the national parks, I believe, because...
No, he did not. He did not start the national parks. He expanded it in a way no president had ever expanded it. And a lot of people incorrectly give him credit for starting the program. It was in place before 1900.
Okay, he expanded it because he saw the extreme overgrazing and people abusing the land. Is that correct?
He started it because of his time spent in the Badlands of North Dakota, and he truly became a lover of conservation and the utilization of these natural resources.
His intentions were good, though.
I think so. I mean, I think that's highly debatable.
I'd heard that a lot of it was because people moved a bunch of cattle on the Goodyears up here and they grazed it to nothing and weeds are growing and he figured that something had to be done to prevent that abuse. I can't remember where I even...
Yeah, I struggle with that, but the one Teddy Roosevelt quote that I really come back to, I think resonates with anybody, is that in 1907, Teddy Roosevelt said, the problem with our nation going forward is urbanization.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it, 1907, we had no petroleum utilization. We didn't even have paved streets.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about not only the urbanization of concrete condos and consumers, but he also went on to say that people today have a very little ability to go into the wilderness or the woods and shoot and kill their own food. And so in his mind, he was trying to preserve a culture, but he always promoted conservation, and that's where they've really strayed from what Theodore Roosevelt had in mind.
That's my point.
Is that these people want to preserve these resources, and you can't do that. Conservation is how you protect and promote and improve the resources.
And that's where I'm going with this. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here just to kind of get to the point and wrap my head around this. That started as a good thing. Now, CRP, the same thing, as I recall in my knowledge of CRP, that was started because there was overproduction and prices were so low that something had to be done to take land out of production, because farmers are going to farm to feed their family. They have to. So the government, I think that's what was one of the main things of CRP, was to stabilize the grocery prices, which is most of our food program, is stabilizing grocery prices and stabilizing commodity prices so the consumer can afford and the farmer can stay in business. Does that sound correct for the start?
Correct. The other part of that at the start of it, which was they wanted to take highly erodible land.
Right. Okay. Yep.
Out of production and put it in a conservation reserve program because we were on the heels of the Dust Bowl and we saw what had happened in the Dust Bowl. And so they wanted to take the marginal land and not recreate the Dust Bowl.
Yeah. So all these things we're talking about, Teddy Roosevelt, all this conservation stuff, started out with really good intentions and was effective. And now it sounds to me like it's getting skewed, it's getting abused, and now it's going in a bad direction. Is that kind of where we're going?
That's exactly, I would agree with that 100%. Although there are people that would argue with me and you, and I'm beginning to be swayed, to be honest, that the powers that be, and I'm going to go back to Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was not politically like Theodore Roosevelt in any way, shape, or form. But there are people that could make the argument that all of this day was seen, and they knew they had to start it in a slow way in the 40s in order to accomplish what they wanted to. I mean, you think about this. You know, when I started doing radio 22 years ago, there was a lot of people who approached me, and they would say, I want to do an interview, and I want to talk about Agenda 21. And if you'd interview somebody about Agenda 21, and I'm talking about late 80s, 90s, they would label them a whack job or a conspiracy theorist, and nobody listened to them.
Yep.
Okay, we lived through 2021. How was it?
It was tough.
I'm thinking that it wasn't really a conspiracy, that there has been this long plan in place since World War II to control more of the nation's food supply and resources. And so while I'm not arguing with you, and I've been 100% in agreement in that regard, there would be people that would say we knew we could get what we wanted if we started slower and pretend that it's a good reason.
And they take advantage of situations and opportunities that lend themselves to do that in a good way that comes across as being positive.
Huh? Spot on.
Gotcha.
Spot on.
Gotcha. And a drought, a pandemic, things like that are good opportunities to look like you're helping people out. Okay, now we're making a little sense here. So since I'm being a little bit of a troublemaker here in my questioning, next question for you is,
we can't make progress if someone of us isn't a troublemaker.
That's right.
I'll tell you that right now.
That's right. Without some conflict or some pressure, we don't grow and get better. So you know, most producers are really great stewards of the land and their animals, but there's still some that aren't, whether it's because of desperation. You know, sometimes guys overgraze because they just have to. It's a tough situation. You got a family to feed, whatever the reason. But how much, if almost collectively all of the landowners and livestock producers were really doing good things with rotational grazing, with, you know, quote unquote sustainable, I know you probably hate that word like I do, but these good management practices like Jerry Doan and Gabe Brown and a lot of these guys are having success at too. You know, if we can really show that we are sequestering more carbon, we are producing a high quality food product, we are saving the world, how much easier would things be if we get more people on board like that?
Well, I think that's a double-edged sword because I absolutely follow the logic in what you're talking about, but I am a purist when it comes to property rights. And if I want to overgraze my property with my cows, who are you to tell me that I can't do that?
Touche.
Now, I fully understand what Gabe's doing, and I think that he's done a fantastic job and that we all ought to find out how we can be a part of improving our resources, because what's everybody have as the number one objective for their property?
Profitability.
And?
I don't know.
Well, I would contend that profitability is not number one.
Okay.
The ability to pass it to the next generation.
Right.
Is number one.
Okay.
And profitability is the way that you accomplish that.
It's got to be profitable, so, or otherwise you don't pass it
if
on.
If you don't take care of your land, if you overgraze your land and all of these things, your odds of profitability and passing to the next generation have just gone from 100% to like near zero.
Right.
So I'm not saying, but I don't think we go about it in telling people this is what you got to do with your land.
Yeah, and that's almost like saying, okay, you win. We're gonna back off on this, and we're gonna say that we're doing this. I mean, it's something we should do anyways. I don't have an intensive grazing rotational system, so I can pout stout or be bragging about saving the world. I do it because it makes me more money. It makes my cattle healthier.
Absolutely.
I get a better product from it. It takes a tiny bit more work, but hey, no pain, no gain. You gotta do some work if you can't expect something from nothing. But what you're saying is, we can't say that, hey, we're going to do this and then just lay off us.
Correct.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, that makes sense. See there, we learned a little bit of something there. I like that, because like in New York City, the PRCA and the PBR, they do events in New York City and LA, and they lose a bunch of money putting on these events because it's a hassle getting animals and stocking an arena into big city. But if they don't do it, now they've won. And they've given an inch, and they'll take a mile. So we got to do the same, I guess. Crazy.
That is always our challenge, that we give up things incrementally. We say, well, you know what? We just won't go to New York City because it's not profitable. Well, how many people come to the Thomas and Mac in Vegas because this was in New York City at one point in time?
Yep.
You have to do that for the long term.
And there's history there. Yeah, it's so important. Man, this was great, Trent. I think we have gone way longer than my listeners like to go, but what a great interview. I so much appreciate you just taking some time. I think that kind of touches on everything that I wanted to get from you, and I have learned a lot. I hope my listeners have as well. Is there anything else you feel like we need to touch on before we keep on trucking?
Nope. There's going to be some serious trucking going on by the time you get down in Los Angeles. I'll tell you that. In the U.S., I see the replication of what happened in Canada forming right now. But most importantly, just thank you for bringing these topics up and continuing the discussion and carrying them with you everywhere you go, through every airport and every cafe.
Thank you for all your advice. I guarantee that it's going to help us be more effective and make a difference. And it's just an honor to... This is one of the craziest interviews or podcasts I've been involved with, because I've realized in the time we started this that we're just implementing what you've been talking about for 22 years, and it's an honor to have you, Trent. Keep doing it. I will report back to you, and we'll keep in touch, buddy. Happy trails to you.
Appreciate it, Benny. See you soon.
All right, man. Keep that chest out, because there's no doubt it's on to the big show. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Rodeo Rock Radio. Thank you to Trent Luce once again. Thank you for all you do. Western Justice, please support the cause. WesternJustice.info. Check out the Facebook page. Check out T2 Ranch Breaking 8 Facebook, Breaking8.com. That's my band. That's where you can find the song Western Justice. Wild Rides is the theme song you're hearing right now. Thank you so much. Keep on keeping on. Something to remember.